Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, just want to let you know, like our episode Santo Mi Amor, there is also a weird static issue on my microphone. This entire episode, I want to apologize for it up front. It's still listenable, but it's not the quality we want. Although maybe it's the quality we deserve for this episode. Please enjoy and know that next time we'll bring you something even better sounding.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of 200 Cigarettes.
I watched the second half of 200 Cigarettes.
And this
is the other half.
Happy New Year!
Hey, finally a new year, 2025, baby! Woo! Oh boy, this is gonna be the good one, I'm sure.
This is gonna be the good year.
This is gonna be the good year. Good year blimp.
Is that the blimp I see, or is it just the year that we're currently in?
Hey, it's the good year. Hey, well, we're recording this not in the good year yet, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
But the good year is going to happen. No, we're recording this a little early. But you guys are probably all listening to this in the good year, right? When does the New Year's happen?
You should have looked up before you made that joke, Mike. I don't know. I don't have the schedule up on me. I don't have it. I could pull
here,
it up.
I'm looking it up right now. Wow. Okay, so actually, people will be listening to this in the new year.
Usually how we do
should
it.
Should all acquaintance be forgot?
Oh shit, I know the song for real. Don't judge me.
You do know this song for real.
It's fine.
But you know what other songs I know? Songs from the 80s, which is when this movie's supposed to be taking place.
Oh boy, do we
know
songs from the 80s. Go ahead. Why did we pick this movie? I know we pick movies that take place
in the new year's
movie. Is there any other reason besides we're running out of New Year's movies? So there's not a lot.
We are sorely running out. And I know this was a movie we were going to watch, I think, last year. And then we just forgot about it. And I got really annoyed because I was like, oh, this movie like takes place on New Year's. It's one of those movies like New Year's Eve where you follow all the different characters and they all run into each other. And it takes place in New York, you know. So I'm like, I was so fucking jazzed. And I saw the cast, you know, it's like a stack cast. You got like Paul Rudd, Christina Ricci, you know, like Dave Chappelle pre being a shithead is in this movie.
I don't know about that.
You got all of these great like cast members in this movie. And I was like, this is gonna be great, you know? It's like seeing a bunch of like 20 something smoking in New York on New Year's. What could be better? This movie fucking sucks.
So bad, dude.
I fucking hated this movie.
So bad.
I hated it so much. I looked up the people that wrote and directed it. This is the only movie this writer's ever written. They've never written another movie.
So
which thank God.
This movie feels like the prototype to those Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, New Year's Eve, like literally those types of movies. I can't remember the director's name off the top of my head, but those types of movies, this is what that movie felt like. And
yes,
but it does such a poor job. Like at least in those movies, you can latch on to like, okay, here's what everyone's problem is. Everyone's problem in this is basically the same thing, which is I am sad because someone will not date me.
Yeah.
Now I hope they date me. They date you. Crazy New Year's happens. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I got so many characters mixed up in my half because none of them really had distinct personalities. I was just like, that lady's got the red hair. She's, I don't know. I don't know anything about her. She just, I guess she wants to fuck
someone.
There's
red-haired lady.
She does.
She's with Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Well, there's red-haired lady and then there's like short, dark-haired, red-haired lady too, I think. Right? I don't know.
Christina Ricci?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, she's the one that's with Casey Affleck.
Yes. Casey Affleck. It's very confusing seeing all these characters. None of them are interesting. I don't like any single one of them. They all have the boringest. Okay, there's one character I thought was kind of okay. I believe her name was Cindy? Yeah, Cindy.
Who is she? What's her thing? What's her deal?
She's clumsy, I think. I don't really know what her deal is.
Oh, Kate Hudson?
Yeah, Kate Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Well, her deal is that she just gave away her V card to Jack, the dude that she's with.
Okay.
She gave it to him. She was a virgin, and then they had sex, a one-night stand the night before. And this is their second date, basically. And that's her whole deal. Okay. And she's really clumsy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
That's
I
a character
know.
Trait,
it's
right?
Like, I think the thing, too, like, because compare this to, like, the New Year's Eve, like, Mother's Day movies. But those movies have, like, a big age difference between everybody. You know, you have people who are, like, really little. You have people who are teenagers. You have people who are, like,
yeah.
adults. You have people who are older. So you get, like, a big, big amount of problems, like, between the all of them, right? It's like, yeah. I want to be a good mom. I want to get a good job. Like, all this kind of stuff. It's like, I guess if you're, like, a 20-something in New York in the early 80s, there's really only one thing you want, which is to be in a relationship, yep. I guess.
Or to fuck. Or to lose
your
V-card.
Which isn't even really true. Like, we were 20-somethings, and we were like, we want a good job. We want to travel. We yeah. want to do this. Like, couldn't that be, like, something that
yeah.
these people are interested in? Like,
lots of other things.
Like, I want to have children. I'm in a relationship, and you know, whatever. Like, you have like actual interesting things you can do with these characters. I think that's what I'm so pissed about. Like, the setting, the time, the cast, you're wasting them all mm-hmm. at the service of essentially just a bunch of people whining about the fact that they're all single. And I'm like, I know why you're all single, especially the fucking Irish guy. I cannot fucking
Eric?
Stand that
yeah
dude.
He's awful.
Eric, I hated Eric. Eric was the worst.
And they all, yeah, I know, Mike, none of them resolve in anything remotely satisfying. None of them. Not
a
single
a
one.
That's
all
a real
terrible.
Yeah, that's a real. I'm trying to think of other. Or like American Graffiti is a really good example of like another movie that takes place over the course of one night. A
on
bunch
New,
of like,
a New
know,
Year's movie. Oh, there's also American Graffiti 2, a New Year's movie as well, okay. that we watched. I was looking at the past
yeah,
New Year's
right.
movies because I felt like this is a rough one, right? And I was like, have they always been rough? Not really. Last year we watched Holiday 1938. Great movie.
Yeah.
We watched The Poseidon Adventure
one.
As one of them. That's a great movie.
Great one.
New Year's New yeah. Evil. I remember liking that. Happy New Year.
That New Year's. The Happy New Year's one. I was
Happy
about
New
to
Year's
say that's
one.
A good one.
A good one.
Yeah.
We did watch. I mean, American Graffiti 2 is okay. I remember being okay. New Year, New You was yeah. pretty boring. Arthur 2 on the Rocks was terrible. But like.
That was a bad
one. That was a bad one. But like this one, I think may be probably
be
the
worst
one. Because there's nothing yeah. redeemable about it. You know?
I don't, no. I nothing about it at all. Yeah, and the problem with these kinds of movies too is it's so hard to talk about them.
Yeah.
because it's like, luckily in a movie like this, you have pretty recognizable actors. So, like, I
Do
think
you?
Most of my movie, Christina Ricci is recognizable.
Uh-huh.
Ben Affleck is recognizable. Casey Affleck's recognizable. Paul Rudd is recognizable. You know, Jay Moore is recognizable.
Uh-huh.
Janine Garofalo is recognizable.
Okay.
You know, you've got some.
You got some.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Not
like
all
half
of them
you don't know.
That's
and
the
so
thing.
It's
I think
like
it's the ratio is like, all right, that's the person with Jay Moore. Okay, got it. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can figure out kind of where we are, but
yeah.
Oh boy, this is a rough one. And it's hard yeah. to talk about. So we're gonna do our best. It's gonna be messy.
We're gonna do our best.
But
it's gonna be very
gonna be,
messy.
We're gonna try to have fun with this garbage heap as best we can.
Yes.
Just like our favorite. Or one of our other favorite characters, totally, the lady who was trying to throw the party. I can't remember
oh,
her name.
Oh, God. I didn't learn her name until very late in the game. Cheryl?
I think it's Cheryl.
No, not Cheryl.
Oh.
No, it's not Cheryl. I'm wrong. Monica. Her name's Monica.
Oh, yes. Monica.
She used to date Eric.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. See, this is the other bullshit, right? It's like, well, what drama are we going to, like, experience here? And the drama, it feels like I'm at a party. Like, describing this movie is going to feel like you're at a party with a bunch of strangers. And you're like, so this is Monica, right? And Monica's throwing a party. But she used to date Eric. And then Eric shows up. And Eric just got, like broken up with. And everyone's like, who fucking cares about your friends and... Like,
yeah.
it's like none of this is actually dramatic. Like, none of this is interesting, you know?
Yeah. I think they tried to write it like it was supposed to be, like, relatable. Like, yeah, we've all gone through something like this. It's like, I guess,
yeah.
but none of it is, there's too much of it, and none of it's deep enough to be interesting. It's just like a shallow dip in each character. And none of the
yeah.
characters are written deep enough to really feel like anything. Like, I guess maybe they're trying to, so you could, like, put yourself onto them. But it's hard to put yourself onto them with their problems when they don't feel like real characters. They just feel like, the most paper thin people I've ever seen.
I also just feel like you're wasting New York here. Like, you know, the movie is all set in New York, and like so much of this is set like inside of rooms or like bars or restaurants. And I'm like, where's that New York vibe, baby? Like, you know, like with the streets and the people and the architecture and, you know, like you don't have to be like on, you know, like a major like New York street, but like I feel like you're wasting the space, guys.
Every
like,
motherfucker, you know, takes like, taxis in this. Not a single person steps.
Well,
in the
you
subway.
Have to take taxis because that's one of the main characters. Is Dave Chappelle's the taxi driver?
Yeah, but like, why is not a single person being like, oh, I'm gonna take the subway? Because all I do is talk about how crowded the streets are.
No, oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess the subway.
Well, they say how crowded the streets are. I don't see a single damn person
also,
on the street.
This is also the '80s New York. I feel like the subway, most people would be like, I'll get killed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is 80s New York, which is another big fucking, like,
yeah,
in, like thing against it. Movie was made in, like, the early 90s or something?
Early 2000s.
I was so excited to see, like, early 2000s New York with all these starlets running around. I was so fucking pumped. And when the title card came up, 1981 New York, oh, I wanted to die instantly. Yeah, I wanted to text you. I wanted to text you and be like, I don't want to see this movie anymore. Like, I was so fucking unenthused to see, like, what the weird approximation that these directors and, like, actors are going to try to do
that's
for
the,
1981.
This movie feels like it's in 1999, despite them telling me this is early 80s. And I'm like, no, it feels like a 90s movie through and through.
Yes. And not just because of, like, the way, like, because it was shot. It's because, like, the costumes don't feel like it's taking place in the 80s. Like,
no.
Really, the only two... There's only two characters I feel in the movie look like they're from the 80s, which is the short redhead girl, or the longer redhead girl, and her friend, who both of whom are dressed like kind of like a like
yeah.
Madonna or something.
Yes,
you
I
know?
Do think that they...
Those are the only two characters I feel like are really getting it. Everyone else just, like, fucking, particularly Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd has, like, a weird mutton chops. They don't work for him. And they're like, that's yeah. it. You're the 80s. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, most people cast in this are very much of the time of being big in 1999, too.
That's probably
so I think
too,
it's kind of
yeah.
hard to be like, yeah, man, Dave Chappelle totally lived in the 80s. It's like, no, I don't know. Or Ben Affleck specifically. I'm like, motherfucking Batman's here, you know? Like, he sticks out like a sore thumb. Also, he just dresses like he does now. Like, he has the exact same haircut.
He's like a Dunkin' Donuts box away from appearing on Twitter.
Yes.
Like that's like how he looks. Yeah.
Yes. It is unbelievable how awful this movie was. Like, this is one of those movies where I kept looking and being like, are we almost done? Because I can't tell.
I know.
I can't tell.
Well, I had the worst problem because I have to wait until halfway through the movie. And I'm like, it has to be halfway now, right? It has to be halfway. And it wasn't.
No.
Like, you just wait till the credits roll. Like, I'm like looking at the time the entire time.
I'm still looking at the time the entire time being like, when's my sweet release? When's my sweet release? When am I free from this? All right, well, let's figure out. Let's tell everyone why this movie sucks so much. I mean, we already did, but
so,
more into it.
Movie opens with Paul Rudd and Courtney Love. They're passengers in a taxi that has been driven by Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd is bummed because it's his birthday. And his girlfriend broke up with him yesterday, who's played by Janine Garofalo. She's like a big underground musician in New York. Dave Chappelle tells Paul Rudd advice on how to attract girls. He's like, there's three things you got to do. Thing one, got to smile. Thing two, don't talk about death. And thing three, play some music for her, baby. And so those are the things you got to do.
Love this guy. He's so insightful.
He also says you're not allowed. This is the other thing I hate about this movie. Paul Rudd like is a smoker. Like for his birthday, Courtney Love, whom originally I thought was his sister, but come to find out they're just really good friends.
Uh-huh.
She buys him a big like carton of cigarettes, which if maybe you guys picked up on the fact that there are 200 cigarettes inside of a carton of cigarettes.
Okay.
That's why the title of the movie is there. And so he's like a big smoker, and so he's smoking in the taxi. And Dave Chappelle's like, hey, man, you're not allowed to smoke in the taxi cab. But he's also lighting up. And Paul Rudd's like, well, I thought you said you're not allowed to smoke. And he's like, I'm not smoking, but you're smoking. And you can tell he's like smoking weed. But it's like literally like 5 minutes earlier, we saw Courtney Love clearly smoking a cigarette in the taxi and nothing was said. Like, I'm not like a big like, you know, plot hole thing. It just feels like lazy filmmaking.
Well,
at this
it's in
point.
The same
like,
scene.
Like,
it's a little tough to really wrap your head around like and buy it, you know? Like, it's tough.
It just feels like Courtney Love wanted to smoke in the scene, so they let her. And then they were like, oh, wait, I guess we're not allowed to do that. Whatever, who cares?
That could be his personality, is that he doesn't like that guy, and he just likes Courtney Love. Also, The thing is I thought everyone could smoke everywhere in New York. Like, everyone's just smoking all the time. And I thought that was, like, the whole thing of the movie. But, like, I guess there's suddenly a rule against it.
There's a rule, I think, in Chappelle's Taxi specifically. I think he just, like, doesn't want it to smell like smoke because he knows it's going to be a busy night.
What's Dave Chappelle's
character's
name?
It's going to smell like smoke anywhere. I don't know what his character name is. He's just, I just wrote down Taxi Driver.
He is called Disco Cabbie, according to IMDb. So there you go.
Okay, Disco Cabbie. We see Monica. She's planning a party. She's prepping for it. And she's talking to some other lady whose name I don't know.
Yeah, she's just like a friend, right? Or something? I don't know.
Or like a roommate or something. And Monica, I related a bit too much to, because she's just like, she's worried because she's like, people aren't going to get here. And then when they do get here, it's only going to be people that I don't like. And all the people that I like aren't going to be here. Like, she was like just agonizing and stressing over it. And then as like her party gets closer and closer to the time, and even when it starts to go overtime, she's just like, people don't like me. People must hate me. People just think, like, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, oh no, I'm
the most
tagged
reliable
yourself
character.
This movie. I'm Monica. We meet Christina Ricci, whose name I never wrote down, and her friend Steffi.
Okay.
They are younger ladies. They're underage. I think they're like, I don't know how old they are, but they're underage because they live with their moms and stuff still.
It's Val.
And
Val is her name.
Val.
Yeah.
Val and Val and Steffi. They're walking around. Val said that there's a party that she'd heard about through a friend of hers. But she got the address wrong, and they wound up, like, in a neighborhood that they don't recognize. And Val doesn't really seem to care. She's just sort of like, whatever, we're in New York. You know, like, you know, each of our moms thinks that we're at the other person's house, so it doesn't matter. Like, no one's going to look for us. But Steffi is, like, really nervous all the time. She's just like, we got to call your mom. We're lost. We don't know where we are. There's all these hooligans around here, you know. So
pick me up. I'm scared. Yeah, she's a nervous wreck. That's her whole thing. And she just also is just... She doesn't seem very fun to hang around.
No, not at all. And Val's just like, she's like, I don't know anybody's number. So, like, that's their problem. We cut back to Paul Rudd and Courtney Love, and they arrive at some kind of like loud punk kind of looking club place that Ben Affleck works at. He's a bartender.
Okay.
We also meet Eric here and two ladies. Whose names I never know. Do you know their names?
Nope. I don't know these two ladies. Is it the two ladies?
Right. You would know the two ladies. It's the ones with the lady with the red hair. It's the two that are dressed like Madonna.
Okay, yes. I do know who we're talking about, yeah.
Do you know their names?
Nope. I could probably find them.
Okay, cool. Me neither.
You could probably find them.
Doesn't matter. So they know Eric. One of them, the lady who's dressed in like all black, she is dating Eric currently. But Eric is like, he was invited to Monica's party. And so he's like, let's all go to this girl that I used to date for like 6 months ago. She invited me to her party. You guys want to go with? And one of the girl that's dating Eric is like 6 months, you know, isn't like that long of a time to be broken up by somebody. Like, don't you still have feelings for her? Like, isn't it weird for us to go to your party? And so her and her friend go into the bathroom together and they talk about Eric together. And we learn that Eric is an artist. He primarily makes really large paintings that look like vaginas.
Yep.
And he's really bad in bed. We learned that he's really bad in bed.
Okay.
That's
really funny.
And at first I'm like, yeah, it's very funny. And at first I'm like, oh, I guess that's like a funny joke. But then when they come back to the table, Eric is like a big fucking baby about it. He's just like, you were gone for 20 minutes. No, not even know what he says. You were gone for nearly 20 minutes. Which I'm like, girls going to the bathroom for 20 minutes is not like that long of a time. Like, they converse. You know, like, why are you whining? Like, you're in a bar. Like, who gives a shit? He's being a big fucking baby.
Oh,
and immediately I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy is definitely bad in bed. Because, like, he's such a big fucking bitch. Like, it's like, I fucking hate this guy. And he's so annoying.
I love
he's
the idea that, like, Mike's just like, this person annoys me. Must be bad in bed. Must be a fucking...
I mean, because you know what it is? Because he doesn't take anyone else's, like...
Opinion?
He doesn't care about anybody else. He's so selfish. He's inconsiderate. And, like... Yeah, like, it's like, if you don't care about what
other
people are
feeling. He only cares about
feeling,
being good in bed because he can just say he's good in bed. He doesn't actually care about being good in bed. That's what it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly. Or he's just only obsessed with, like, how he feels, right?
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter. So, what happens next? We run into Kate Hudson. We learn a bit about how, you know, what her whole deal is. She talks to Dave Chappelle about this. Dave Chappelle's, like, in the taxi, and she's like... Like laughing and giggling, and she spills all the stuff out of her purse. So we learn that she's like really like nervous and stuff. And she talks about her whole thing, how she, you know, was a virgin and then she went on a one night stand and now she's going out with the guy again. His name is Jack. Dave Chappelle's like, girl, you got to get in this taxi cab. Destiny awaits. So yeah. She gets in the taxi cab. She runs into Jack and she just can't make a decision. He's just like, so what do you want to do? You want to go get something to eat? You want to get something to drink? We're going to this party. You know, like, what do you want to do? And she's like, I don't know. Like, she can't make a decision. And Jack's like, all right, well, Jack's kind of great because he's kind of just like, well, if you're not going to make a decision, I think I'll just be the one to make a decision for us.
Okay.
Which is pretty great.
Interesting.
So that's good. Courtney Love tells Paul Rudd that he only dates women who emasculate him.
Oh,
and he's like, yeah. And he says, well, yeah, because no one likes me. Like, nobody likes me. Nobody accepts me for who I am. He says to a person who's sitting next to him in this very loud bar, listening to his problems,
uh-huh.
and clearly accepts him for who he is.
Yep.
So that happens. Lady who's throwing the party, Monica, thinks everyone hates her. Oh, her roommate's name is Hillary. That's okay. Her name.
Don't see her much in my half or meet her. So okay. I actually, those two girls we were talking about earlier, I wrote them down as threesome girls because they look like they're going to have a threesome
yes.
with this guy. The they bartender, want, they, but
yeah, they
like,
both wind up with Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
yes. Threesome. We'll refer to them as the threesome girls. Thank you very much.
Girls, the two threesome girls,
the two threesome girls. And so Hillary is the roommate of Monica. She's falling asleep, and we learn. Oh, and then Hillary's like, "I'm gonna just leave. I'm gonna go out. Nobody's here yet. Everyone's kind of late. I'm just gonna leave." And Monica's like, "No, you can't leave. You're literally the only person here right now." And she's like, "If you stay, you can date my ex, Eric, if he shows up. You can have him."
What a catch.
And he's just, and well, I you know, right? And it's funny because then later on when we learn that Monica also believes that Eric is bad in bed, it's like, well, you're kind of like lying to your friend Hillary, or you're lying to Hillary there, Monica, whatever.
It's not really sisterly of you.
Do you think that Monica and Hillary is made at the time? Do you think it was like a reference to like the Clinton administration?
Maybe, yeah, you could be right. Yeah,
I don't know if it predates it or not.
The Clinton administration? No, it's the Clinton administration is going strong right now, so it has to be.
Well, yeah, but has
oh, you
this
mean
happened
the Monica
already?
Lewinsky stuff? Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'll have to look it up. Might be right.
I don't know. Probably not. Don't even.
You know what?
Looking it up. It doesn't matter.
That would be the type of humor that this movie's going for, though. Like, where it's like we're witty, and it's like you're really not, though. You're really just making. Like,
yeah.
You're really just making connections and writing them together.
So Jack and Kate Hudson go play pool at the same bar that Ben Affleck is bartender at, but she's so clumsy, so she grabs a pool cue and she accidentally knocks her beer over all over the pool table, and Jack's like, whoa, you just knocked your beer over. And she goes, what? And she turns again and she breaks a lamp. She's just like, whoopsies. And so she goes into the bathroom and she like redoes her makeup, and she drops her makeup. She catches it on her chest, leaving a big old red spot on her dress, and she goes like, oh, and she drops her makeup into the sink, which is like backed up and like covered in like you know, cigarette butts and like dirty water and stuff. And I'm like, girl, why? What do you don't? Because it's clear she wants to get her makeup retrieved from the water. I'm like, you don't need the makeup that bad.
You don't
like
that bad. You could just leave it.
You can just get more makeup somewhere else. I'm sure there's another place you can get makeup from.
Yeah.
But no, she fucking dives her hand into the water to get the makeup. And I'm like, even if you got the makeup, you're going to apply it? Like, it's fucking covered in gross water. Like, I don't know. This character doesn't make any sense to me. So that happens. Christina Ricci, Steffi and Val, they think that they're getting really close to the party. They're in a neighborhood that they don't recognize, and Steffi seems nervous and possibly racist because she's like, every time like a group of like black guys walk by her, she's just like, whoa! Like, no, she's really nervous about that.
She's so annoying. I hate her.
She's awful. I don't like Steffi at all.
By the way, the
I like Christina Monica Ricci a lot.
The Monica Lewinsky stuff happened in January 17th, 1998. So that's plenty of time for them to write about it.
Well, there you go. Then that maybe it is a reference.
It's got to be.
Got to be. It has to be. Why would you pick those two names out of the blue, you know?
Yeah.
So they eventually, Steffi's like, all right, Val, there's a phone over here. Let's just call your mom, try to figure out what's going on. So she tries to call, but nobody picks up, she says. The phone is dead. And so instead, they go into a nearby punk bar which has Casey Affleck in there with his friend.
What's his name? He had a stupid name.
I wrote it down too. I wrote it down. I can't find it. Dave. His name is Dave.
There you go. Yep.
So that happens. We cut back to Paul Rudd. They've left the bar now and they're just walking around. Paul Rudd and Courtney Love are just walking around, and Paul Rudd sees a bunch of posters for his ex's musical shows all over the wall, and he just starts fucking flipping out. He's just like, I bet she knew that I was gonna be here, and she put up all these posters. She put her posters everywhere so I would never be, you know, I'd be surrounded by her.
Oh my god.
And so he's just such a whiner. I was watching it with my wife and I was like, it feels like he's playing his character from Wet Hot American Summer, but not doing it like for in a funny way. He's just like doing it like legitimately.
Yeah.
And my wife brought up a good point too, where she was like, he feels like he's trying to do some kind of like a depressed like Bill Murray, but without any of like the charisma or charm that Bill Murray has.
That's when
he does that kind of role.
That's wild, because you know, I always feel like Paul Rudd's a pretty charismatic person, but also I think he's doing it, but also the material, it's like you can do as much charm as you can, but at some point the material itself has to, you know, not make you hate the character, right? Like
this might also be the director's poor decision making as well. Like, no, bigger, angrier, you know?
Yeah. True.
Make, I don't know. Either way, so then to shut him up, Courtney Love is like, hey. And at this point, I thought they were brother and sister. And Courtney Love goes, hey, you know, I really want to sleep with that bartender. Gave the bartender, like, the address to the party that they're going to go to and her phone number and all that stuff. But she's just like, if the bartender doesn't show up, maybe we could sleep together. And Paul Rudd's like, what?
And you were like, what? I thought you were related.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Really? And then I learned that, no, they've just been friends for years now. They're just, like, really good friends.
Okay.
Half of the threesome girls break up with Eric. Eric flips the fuck out. She's like, I don't understand. I don't understand why you guys want to break up with me. And then he fucking storms off. Kate Hudson and Jack are walking around in the night, and Kate Hudson's like, I think maybe we should just call it a night. And Jack is like, yeah, I think you're probably right. Like, even he's just like, I don't know why I even really came out tonight. Like, clearly you're a mess. Clearly we don't know what we're doing here. So he's hailing a cab. Like, he can't fucking get out of it quick enough. And then it comes out somehow. She's like, she mentions that she was a virgin before they met. And then he gets really interested in her. And he's like, all right, let's go get some like food together. They go to like an Indian restaurant together. Get some food there. And he's like, I want to know why you picked me to be your first. Like, why me? And she's just like, honestly, I don't really know. Like, you know, it's just like, it just happened to, you know?
Okay.
And there does seem to be some kind of reason, but then she eats something really spicy. She can't say. And then she gets up and she knocks over a bunch of fucking. I hated it. I fucking hated this fucking character so much. He knocks over this fucking food. She runs off into the bathroom to cry. I'm just like, girl, you're a fucking mess.
True.
Eric finally arrives at Monica's place. He complains about getting broken up with. Monica plays Feliz Navidad to try to like lighten the mood, okay. Which is pretty funny.
By the way, soundtrack of Sui going every 80s song you could think of. They really spent their money on it. Everything.
You know what? Oh, I forgot to mention, this is an MTV movie. MTV produced this.
That explains quite a lot.
Yeah, which not only would explain like the young cast and all the music, but also, yeah, like my wife is bringing it up too. It's like they probably knew that the rights are relatively inexpensive, which is why they like set it in this time period, you know?
That's probably a good point, yeah.
So what happens next? So Eric is like complaining and whining at Monica, and he's the only one there. It's literally just him and Monica now at the party, and he's just whining and whining and bitching and moaning. He's just like, I don't understand. You broke up with me. This lady broke up with me.
Yeah,
what's wrong with
party,
me? Why
is
everyone...
It is a dead party still. It's still
it
dead.
There's literally just the two of them. Which is crazy because Monica's place is so fucking big.
I know.
Like, it's massive. For New York? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely a fantasy apartment.
Yeah, it really is. And so Eric's like, I don't understand. What's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough? Blah, 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 blah. And so she's like, all right, Eric. Here's the reason. Because he's threatening to, like, run out. He's like, if you don't tell me why you broke up with me for real, I'm going to leave. And she's like, okay,
for
real?
She needs everyone at this party to be here, so
Yes. So she's like, for real, you were the worst lover I ever had. And that goes back to high school. Like, you were the worst. You were the worst. You were terrible. And he's so angry. And I think he storms out. I think he ends up leaving. Because it's like, I don't know what you really want.
I don't
want
to be here with these haters.
So Casey Affleck and his friend Dave run into Val and Steffi. And they offer, at first Val and Steffi are nervous about them. But eventually they offer them beer. And we also learned that Casey Affleck and Dave are going to deliver packages for a friend of theirs. But it seems really suspicious. It's like a tied up, like, brown package. So it could be, like, drugs or something. Okay. We don't know what it is. It sounds sketchy. We run into Paul Rudd and Courtney Love again. They're in a restaurant now, like a diner. And he's like, I don't think you're really going to sleep with me. I think you're just saying that.
I'm a little sneaky guy. I'm a little tricky, dude. My little sideburns are going to slip you off your feet, you know?
And she even says, like, are you calling me a slut? And he goes, no, I don't think you're a slut, but I do think you have sex with a lot of men that you don't necessarily care about.
Damn.
Which I'm like, all right. So she's like, all right, I dare you to fuck me. I dare you. And then he's like, check, please. And then they, like, put out the cigarettes and they go into the bathroom stall of the diner. And they're in the stall together and they're, like, getting undressed, getting ready. And then all of a sudden we hear Ellie, who is played by Nadine Garofalo, which was Paul Rudd's previous girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
She's in the bathroom and she knows that it's them because she recognizes the shoes that Paul Rudd is wearing. And she's like, I bought those shoes for you. And she's like, I'm staying with my therapist. And he's like, you're sleeping with your therapist. And she goes, no, I'm not sleeping with my therapist. In fact, I just left you a message on your answering machine asking to get back together. But clearly you just fell into the lap of your friend over here.
Damn.
And he's like, I thought you had sex with Jack. And she's like, no, I didn't have sex with Jack. No, we're just friends. And apparently Christina reached
I'm looking at
all these names in front of me. Oh God. Courtney Love was the one that told Paul Rudd that Janine Garofalo had sex with Jack, and she was lying clearly to try to get with, to try to ruin this relationship, basically.
This is some drama, but also it does really feel like what you said, going to a party and hearing your friend tell you about this horrible thing about something that happened to someone you've never met and you have no stakes
in. Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, oh, man, that sounds awful, bro, right? It's like, who cares? I don't even care.
This isn't relevant to me, really.
The only reason I'm saying these words right now is because we're on a podcast that forces us to watch New Year's Eve movies, and we've run out of them.
We're like, at the bare minimum. If someone could please send us movies up for New Year's. Please, we're running out. The well is dry. We're scraping the bottom. We watched Arthur 2 on the rocks, for God's sake.
I know.
It was terrible. This is terrible.
I'm disappointed in myself because I was upset that we forgot to watch this movie last year. And now I wish I had forgotten that this movie had existed.
Yep.
Anyway, so Janine Garofalo storms out of the bathroom and Paul Rudd is upset at Courtney Love. Courtney Love is just sitting in the stall with her underwear off, just going like, whoops, I guess I was wrong about her and Jack. And then we get to learn a bit more about Jack. Apparently he is trying to be an actor and he runs into a girl named Cheryl who he told it's a random girl, Cheryl. I don't think Cheryl.
No,
ever
I'm trying to think Jack is Jay Moore, right?
Jack is Jay Moore.
Okay.
Who was in a movie we saw recently.
Yeah, Pluto
actually.
Nash.
Pluto Nash. That's right. So Cheryl's like, you told me that you were going to be in California because you were going to be auditioning for a role and you didn't want to be with me and this and that and the other thing and all this sort of stuff. And Jim, so it's, I don't know if it's supposed to imply that, like, I don't know if this is a bad, is if this is supposed to reflect poorly on Jack or if this is supposed to reflect poorly on, like, Cheryl, this random girl. Cause I'm like, I've seen Jack this whole night and Jack seems like a pretty normal guy. Like, you know,
yeah.
But maybe he just is like, afraid of commitment. I don't fucking know what's going on. But anyway, that's like the end of my half, basically.
Yeah, it sounds about right because I don't really know what the fuck is going on. But I kind of understand where everyone comes in and kind of gets to that same spot. But like, yeah, it really is just a mess. So I get in here and I see Jay Moore. And as soon as I see Jay Moore, I'm like, yep, this is definitely a movie from 1999 because that guy was like, from 97 to 2003 or 4, it was just Jay Moore's time, and then he disappeared. Disappeared.
And then
completely.
He disappeared into the ether.
Went to work at BlizzCon.
I'm going to look up what happened to Jay Moore.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, so he goes into the kitchen.
Oh, he is looking worse for wear, my man.
Oh, no.
Ooh, Billy.
He goes,
the years have not been kind to Jay Moore.
He finds someone called Cindy. He tells her to come out of the bathroom. Oh, yeah, yeah. So Cindy, we're like, hey, get out of the bathroom. She uses a bunch of toilet paper because she ate some spicy food. And then when she comes out, he says like one of the meanest things, like, oh, my God, you look like you're going to throw up. She's like, I'm so sad. He's like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. And I'm like, what the fuck? How else are you supposed to mean it?
Yeah.
And she's upset that she's like, I'm so upset that I'm now going to be known as the chili girl who can't take the spice. And there's all these people outside who are watching. Do you know who these people are? They're just people who were in the restaurant and saw her eat the spicy food.
They're the cooks and stuff and the waiters.
Okay.
That's because she's in the bathroom is like in
the back of the kitchen, right?
The back of the cook place.
The kitchen. She's in the back of the kitchen where the bathroom is. But there's also people outside who are like watching her. And it's a big deal that like Jack's like, I don't want anyone to see. So she's like, yeah, let's just leave. You know, she doesn't want to be known as the chili girl, I guess. So she's like, okay. And she starts saying like, you're a really nice person, Jack. And I'm like, is he? She's like, yeah, remember when I got a nosebleed at that party? Most guys wouldn't even look at me. People keep staring at me, but you've been so nice. I'm like, oh no, this is sad. This is sad. then we cut to Ben Affleck. He's serving some drinks. He's then sitting down with the two ladies. He says, yeah, I'm a bartender. But they're like, would you rather be doing anything else besides being a bartender? He's like, yeah, I'm in law school. It's pretty good. And they're like, ooh, law school. That's nice. So like, maybe we'll go out with this guy. But then he's kind of like turns into tech bro mode, even though obviously there's no tech back in 82. But like, he's like, yeah, so my dad's also a lawyer and I got a little bit that in me. I've been in law school for like 4 or 5 years, you know, which means he's probably been just doing it because he's getting paid for it.
Right.
He's like, you know, I got some ideas though. I got like, I'm going to buy a bunch of condos. You know, it's Reaganomics time, baby. I got to ride the wave, you know?
There we go.
Also, by the way, you guys look sexy. I think it'd be good if your clothes were all with my clothes on the floor. You know what I'm saying? And he starts saying all sorts of weird shit that absolutely turned them off.
Of course.
These ladies are looking for Tony at the punk bar, which is, I believe, Val and Stephanie. They're still trying to find someone. There's gross dudes everywhere. Stephanie does not like anyone. She's still looking for Val. But then the music is just too good. There's like a live band there. I looked up who the band was. I couldn't find any info because it seemed like a band that would have been someone we know, like because it's MTV production. I was unable to find it. But she starts rocking out. She's like, hell yeah, this music's awesome. And I was like, okay, cool. She's been cured, right? She's no longer going to be annoying. Well,
no, of course she is.
She is. So we're looking at Eric. He keeps talking about, it's weird. It's a physical oddity, and I have no idea who this guy is. She says, I'm still not done with this new lady in a yellow dress who I believe is Cynthia, right? Cynthia's the one who's throwing the party. Who's the one throwing the party?
Monica.
Monica, my bad. Monica, yeah. She's trying to throw the party, and Eric's over here being annoying still. She keeps saying, you're the worst lover I ever had. You're the only person here. This party is breaking me, and all you care about is how much you fucking suck at sex. I don't care about that. You're not helping me deal with the fact that there's no one at this party that I got all ready for and I'm hyped for, and there's no one here.
Yes.
No
yes,
one.
Yes, girl.
It's one hostess and one guest, and that guest sucks. He's just like, oh, I suck. That's kind of all. He doesn't say anything. So then we got Courtney Love,
say anything.
Paul Rudd, and they're talking about, like, this is a big joke for you, huh, Paul Rudd? And he's like, I'm depressed. She's like, you always are fucking depressed. All I see you around, I keep you around to make me and my life look good because your life sucks so much. And he's like, that's mean.
Damn.
He's like, yeah, well, I'm going to leave. And so she walks off. And then we got Jack finds Cindy. And grabs her and brings her outside. And while they're walking away, he takes her and puts her in kind of like one of those little stoops to get away so people don't see them. Starts to make it out.
Oh,
with her,
yes.
But doing it in a bad way, because what happens is he sees those people that were laughing at her in the restaurant and he wants to get away from them. And he's very nice. He's like, mwah, 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 mwah. And she's like, why'd you do that? She's like, oh, I just really like you. And then she says, oh, I think I'm falling in love with you. And his response is, oh, no, not again. And he says, don't be like that.
Don't be like
that. He says, don't be like that, Cheryl. She's like, wait, my name's Cindy. He's like, oh, shit. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, shit. I just look, man, we just need to go. Let's go to the party. It'll be a great time. And she's like, I don't want to anymore. You're an asshole. You don't even care about me. I'm telling you I love you. And then she tries to leave. She falls down on the ground because she slips on ice.
Because she's so clumsy.
She fell in dog poop.
She fell in dog poop?
I know. She's mad.
The indignity.
I know. She's mad and is like, all you do is talk about yourself. All you care about is your own love. And that's like most – it feels like that's everyone's problems. They're all just selfish. Like that's the only person they
can – They are.
Right. And I'm like, is there anyone else that has other problems? I guess Monica with the party. But I guess she just wants her own party to be good.
Monica's,
she looks good.
Monica's, yeah, is the only one that doesn't revolve around being single.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Except for the fact that she's alone, I guess, in the party that
but
she's
she
throwing.
But that's just, yeah, like physically alone or like
yeah,
all alone. And then she's just like, why is it important to me that you want to know so much about, like, I was a virgin. You weren't even interested in me until I was a virgin. You were kind of already ready to wrap this up. And to let you know this, you're not special. You know, you talk about yourself all the time, but you're not special. Anyone else would have showed up, I would have banged them as well. Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
And it's like, all right, how about the date's over? Let's just break up. Yeah, let's do that. And he goes, you want to share a cab? She's like, yeah, all right, we'll share a cab, I guess. So I don't. There's a lady with black hair in the backseat. Oh, this is Paul Rudd's other lady friend. The one that she was in the
Janine Garofalo?
Janine Garofalo. She was in the back of, I don't know how to say her name. Look, I was looking at her name.
Her name is Ellie. I believe her character name
is Ellie.
I know,
but I was looking at the actor's name, and I apologize. Janine Garofalo. I can't say it right. I can't say her name right. I've heard it many times. Cute. I can't get it. Okay.
So sorry.
The men, she keeps talking about, like, in the back of the, you know, the taxi cab, our famous taxi cab with Dave Chappelle. She keeps being like, men, you're also similar in your mediocrity. You go make out with another woman, and I have to blame myself. You all just a bunch of pack of rolling babies. And he's just like, well, I said some hostility, and just, you know, and I just gotta say, you know, I like a, you know, I sense you're a strong woman, and you know, I like a strong woman, and you know, she's kind of like being like, okay, yeah, all right. And he says, why don't I pull off to the side here, and you could see me, I could see how strong you are, if you know what I mean. She's like, okay, let's get out here. He's like, oh, really? This quick? And then she just leaves. She just gets out of the car and leaves. Doesn't pay the fare or anything. There you go. It's funny.
Nice.
Right? Yep. So then we got the threesome ladies ditch. They have an hour to get to the wedding. Not wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Party.
The party? Feels like a wedding, though, doesn't it?
Feels like a wedding, though. Everyone's got to get there.
Yeah.
The Steffi's still uncomfortable at the goth bar. Everyone keeps dancing. Dudes are getting creeps. At the party, Eric is like thrusting, and he sounds like he's thrusting on Monica's head, but he's like doing a massage, but it's meant to be like sexy, I guess. It's implied.
Oh, and funny probably, and funny, too.
But it's not actual sex or anything.
It's not funny
and
either.
Eric's like, I don't understand what's so great about everyone being so mad about sex. It's just two people in bed getting off. And she's like, you're just so upset about being inadequate. He's like, listen, I'll become adequate. I'll show you adequate. And he rips off his shirt. He's like, let's do it right now, and I'll show you. And he kind of grabs her, and she kind of seems into it. And then immediately a friend walks in. He's like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, well, I'm the second one here. And he's like, oh, no, yeah, you're just, you know, you're not. And so that stops.
Is it anybody of note? Anybody we know?
No, I think it's her friend from earlier that we were talking about, I think.
Hillary.
Probably. I don't know. So Rocco Noma, people are talking about Ron Concoma. Is that ever coming to play in your half?
I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. I don't know what I'm saying either, to be honest. It's a place that you're talking about how they want to go there, which is what Stephanie's saying. She wants to go there. And then
Rocco Mocoma?
It's basically that. I was like, what is going on? Mr. Affleck, the other Affleck, Casey Affleck.
Pardon me. Mr. Affleck is my father. Call me Ben.
Casey Affleck's like, hey, I thought.
Oh, Casey.
I was talking to Val at the bar and she seemed into me, but then she starts making out with this other guy, makes out with Dave. Something happened. She's like, I don't care about you, basically. And he's like, oh, that's a bummer. I'm just bummed, like, no one likes me. It's like, oh, that sucks. So then, let's see. Oh, yeah. Lucy's singing, who I think we mentioned. I forgot. See, the thing is, we changed the name halfway through. Courtney Love. Courtney Love's singing.
Oh, yes. You can call her Lucy.
No. We got to keep consistent. Yeah, well, we could.
No, that's right.
So
people are going
to
be confused.
Courtney Love is singing. Paul Rudd shows up with a bunch of flowers. He's here to apologize. And she's like, oh, I'm with someone. And he's like, oh,
ooh,
that sucks. But like, hey, I got to say something. You know, like, yeah, I actually do really kind of like you. And I think we should do it. We should go back to that restaurant and have sex. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? We got to go back to that coffee shop. And he says, it's my birthday today. You got to do it. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And he says, I dare you to fuck me. And she is like into that.
That's what she said to him originally.
Okay. So she goes, they go back, they leave the flowers and the drink. So they just stiff the bartender with a bunch of flowers. And then it's a weird shot because it shows Ben Affleck showing up in a completely, it looks like a separate room, but the editing makes it feel like he showed up afterwards. Is like, hey, where'd Courtney Love go? Like, it feels like that. And then it just disappears. Like, he just walks in and we never see him again. Ben Affleck disappears.
He's gone.
He's gone. He's gone, girl. So then Eric is talking to Monica's friend about, Monica's friend about how, like, Eric broke up with Monica and how much she sucks in her house on New Year's Eve, I think. Or maybe she was talking about the other person, but whatever. Meanwhile, Monica's angrily drinking, listening to all this in the room, just chugging all sorts of like hard liquor because she's just like, fuck this guy, fuck this Eric guy. He's so
very
much.
Upset about it all. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like when you invite a bunch of people to a party, you're like, oh, this guy showed up first.
That's what she was worried about.
Yep. So then Jack is trying to get a taxi still, and he starts complaining to poor Sydney. No, Cheryl. See, I did it. No, I didn't. No, it wasn't. No, Sydney. Sydney. Yeah, Sydney.
It's like already confusing enough because there's all these different names we have to keep track of.
So Cindy, he starts complaining to her about it again. Jay Moore does. And says, why does every woman who goes out with me the very next day falls in love with me? It's a curse. And she's like, no, you idiot. You're lucky. Many people go through their whole lives trying to find someone they love. And you're just like, whatever. I don't care about this. And I'm like, I don't know. I almost kind of feel like maybe I'm on his side a little bit. I don't know. He's kind of an asshole about it, but like, I don't know. It'd be kind of a lot to be like, I just want to have a hookup. And every single person's like, I love you. And I'm like, oh, I guess we
yeah. That does feel like a lot, I guess.
So he gets a taxi and she leaves her purse with him. And he's like, damn it. She gets a taxi all by herself. Threesome ladies are trying to get to the party to hang out with Eric because I guess they want to hang out with Eric because he's a cool guy.
He's really cool.
I guess. So again, the same Dave Chappelle taxi. He's waxing philosophical. Offers him a cigarette. And says, ah, I'm a little.
Wait, but you're not allowed to smoke in the cab.
I guess he just really didn't like Paul Rudd. He says, they can't go anywhere, so they're just kind of chatting because there's a truck in the way. And he starts talking about his friend Twain and all these bad things that happened to him. Basically, he died by eating like a bean or something. I don't know. It was dumb. But the point of the story is these two ladies were kind of bickering at each other over men. And he's like, should they realize from the story, like, hey, let's make up. Our friendship's not worth this. Let's just not try to find any guys tonight. Just us and have a good time. Like, fine, we'll do that. But then she's just like, hey, can you get this car to move? And he's like, can you get that truck in front of me to move? And then she winks at him and he winks back. And then she gives her her phone number on a matches or something. So she's down Mr. Chappelle, I guess.
Okay.
So she immediately.
He's a pretty charming guy.
She basically immediately went back on the thing. She was like, we should probably just be for us girls. And then immediately is like, no, we're going to start fucking again.
Oh, I see. She went back on it.
So Lucy and Kevin. Not Kevin. Not Kevin. Paul Rudd and Courtney Love are going to go do the sex of the dress. I look like a dressing room. I realize it's a bathroom or a coffee shop.
It's a bathroom and a
coffee
shop.
It's hard to see.
Which is weird that they chose that. I feel like there's probably another place in between the two locations you could
that,
probably find.
But it's symbolic. Yeah. But then she sees his face. This is what she says to him and says, I can't have sex with you. I can't go on forever having sex with people who don't care about it or me. And she said, and then she walks out and he confronts her and says, 12 years of empty, meaningless sex. You're here now and fine. And then you realize you can't do it anymore. You're fucked up more than you know. And
whoa,
she's like,
what an awful thing to say to your friend
in front of a bunch of people. And she says, would I see someone throw themselves after one doomed relationship after the next one? And they could have been with. And then she leaves and he's like, who? Who could it have been?
He's so fucking clueless.
He's so dumb. I hate it. The punks, gals, the girls of the punk guys, Steffi and everyone's carrying, you know, this guy who's drunk with Casey Affleck. And Casey Affleck briefly breaks. Is like, Steffi, you're so fucking annoying. All you do is complain all the time. All you do is whine. We're just trying to find the address. And then her friend, Val, finds the address to the place. They're like, cool, let's go. And then they all go and they just leave this guy on the side of the street with a homeless encampment. They say, like, we got to protect him.
What
and then
the
suddenly
fuck?
They're like, oh, he's fine. I don't know. Monica is
weird.
Then, at this point, so drunk, she falls asleep. She goes, they put her to bed.
In her own party?
In her own party. She goes, because no one's there. Why matter? But then everyone starts arriving at the party. Everyone's there.
Of course.
Paul Rudd meets up his old fling.
Do we know what time it is at this point?
It's pretty late. It's probably, I would say, it's like 11, because they're already talking about, there's an hour till we got to get there.
The ball drop's going to happen, yeah.
So the huge little quick little montage of what happened. Very quick, very brief. And then the morning after, Monica wakes up, sees her place is absolutely trash. There's like a dog there, some random dude sleeping there. She finds Stephanie. Is like, who the fuck are you? And Stephanie's like, who the fuck are you? She's like, I live here. Oh, Val from Rococo was here last night. It's like, my friend from Rococo got you here? Oh, I know who she is. Okay. Well, you're cool. You could stay, I guess. This place is crazy. Everyone was here. He's like, yeah, it was crazy. And then Jack wakes up in another room with one of the redheaded ladies, one of the ladies from
the threesome lady?
No, it's not the threesome lady because she gets with Dave Chappelle. It's the other redheaded lady.
Christina Ricci?
I think so. Yeah.
She's underage.
Yeah, because she comes back and she's like, hey, so I think I'm in love with you. I want you to come meet my family. You could come to my prom. My friends are going to be so jealous. And he's just like, I gotta
fucking
leave.
She's very underage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
That's the end of his arc.
Cool.
That's the end of it. There's nothing else.
What a cool end.
Yep. Eric is fucking that lady friend that he was trying to smooch up while at Monica's place. At his room full of vagina paintings, he has a big-ass apartment. And as soon as they finish, it sounds like it was going great. She's immediately like, all right, I got to go. He's like, what are you talking about? You want to, like, hang out later? He's like, yeah, maybe if I'm not busy. And he's like, oh, hey, be honest with me. Was the sex any good at all? She was like, no, it was bad. It was bad. Monica was like, oh, there was a band here playing? And Stephanie's like, oh, yeah, there's a band. Some guy named Elvis? She's like, Elvis? Elvis Costello was here? It's like, yeah, I guess so. Was that a big deal?
I heard he was in the movie.
Did she talk about him at all beforehand? Because she says that's my favorite
person. I don't remember.
Okay, cool. So she missed her favorite person playing here that we learned about just now.
Just now.
And we didn't
see
it all before. So
yeah. It's a pretty big deal that Elvis Costello is playing at your random party, though.
It's pretty cool, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the threesome lady calls her other friend and they're like, oh, how are you hungover? It's like, no, I had a good time. It was fun. Yep. And it's like, I'm so glad we didn't go out with that bartender guy. Yeah. But he's not that bad. And then they hang up and you realize that the other threesome lady is with Ben Affleck and the other lady.
Right. The bartender guy.
And it's fun.
Well, that's really cool.
Huh?
That's really cool. I like that. I'm a big fan that happened between those two characters whose name I don't know at all.
I don't know their name at all. Yep. Yeah. And then we got the lady, Paul Rudd's ex, I guess. lady who's not yes. Courtney Love.
Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo. She.
Don't you got laugh? That one a bit better.
Yeah, don't you fucking laugh, you little smirky ass.
You got
smirk.
It. No, you got it this time.
Banged Elvis Costello. So there you go.
Good for her.
And then the punk Affleck is talking to Cindy. And they're actually having a nice moment out on a little bridge. He's walking her back. It says, and then after they hooked up, he now says, I think I'm falling in love with you. And they kiss, and it's cute. And then he just says, hey.
If you let piña coladas.
No. He says, do you smell dog shit? And then that's the end of their scene.
Oh, that's a pretty funny ending.
It's a pretty funny
she
ending.
Did,
she fell
she did land
shit.
In dog poop still earlier.
Did you know that she's clumsy? Did you know that?
She's so clumsy
she's so
and goofy.
Clumsy.
And look, she wound up with a punk guy who doesn't even care that she smells like poo.
So the camera's panning
he probably
in
loves it.
To, he probably does like it. He's probably into that. A little freaky man. Little freaky Affleck. So the camera zooms in on Paul Rudd, who's smoking a cigarette. He's like making cool puffs with it and like doing the smoke clouds and everything. He's like, you know, cigarettes are a way to avoid other people's meaningful connections. And I'm like, I don't think that's true. I don't smoke, but I'm pretty sure like most of the time people hang out and smoke and chat. I don't know.
Yeah, it's literally, yeah, like a smoking, like a smoke break. Everyone gets to like socialize while smoking.
Yeah, exactly. But she's like, he talks and he's revealed that Lucy's next to her, him. Courtney Love's character. See, I used the word Lucy.
Got it.
And you
okay.
forgot. You forgot. I told
I forgot
you I got to use Courtney Love. By the way, I thought Courtney Love died, by the way, like a while ago. But I realized that was not the person who died in that relationship. So
no.
I was like, damn, I can't believe I'm watching
what?
A legend. Wasn't she with Kurt Cobain? Am I wrong?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You thought that she's the one that died in Kurt
no,
Cobain
No, I mean,
survived?
I thought they both died somehow. I don't know.
Oh, no. I see what you're saying. I was so confused about this. Okay, no.
That'd be
no. Courtney
crazy.
Love is still alive and well.
Yeah, what's in the,
people thought that she was behind it, but obviously, no, why would you think that? That's horrible.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, Paul Rudd says that, yeah, well, you've been great. And, you know, she's like, you've always been straight with me. And he's like, no, I have always been straight with you. And then they make out in front of the camera. And then he puts a cigarette out right in front of the camera. And that's the end of their story.
And that's the end of the movie?
Well, that's the end of the movie. But we got one last final fun thing because we didn't see the party. The party was leading up to the party. We didn't really see it. So now we get pictures of the party. We don't get to see the actual party. And we get our favorite guy, Dave Chappelle, to narrate it. He's like, look at this party. Look at this famous necrophiliac. His name's Elvis Costello. I don't know what the joke is there, except that he likes to fuck dead people. And he says, look, he picked up this lady. She's a live one. You know, I found this lady here, and I also picked up my cap. It turns out New York's a small city. What a great time. Ha ha. But then, okay.
What?
He says, this is tough, but he says, but it also has to be said, because it's a cultural
it
moment.
It has to be said.
He then says, but then suddenly, there was the ugliest woman I had ever seen in my life, and it's a drag queen. And he says, because she has a penis. And I'm like, no, the signs were there. The signs were there the whole time. He's the only, there has been a drag queen in this entire movie, kind of just in the background, not doing anything, just like, just there and having a good time. And everyone seemed cool. And then, of course.
Gotta make fun of a drag queen.
Gotta make fun of a drag queen in this.
For doing nothing. For just existing. For just being there.
Gotta do it. And yeah, she was even there. It was just there for a joke. Anyway, and then it just goes through how everyone else got. It just literally recaps how everyone got together. And I'm like, I can figure it out from the last scene you showed me. God, this movie sucks ass.
This movie's bad. This is a bad film.
It sucks ass. If you guys made it through this whole podcast, we tried to make it interesting. It is like trying to make chicken soup out of chicken shit. It's impossible, okay?
I love that. I love that. That's a really good comparison. I looked up Jay Mohr. What is he up to nowadays? Not a lot. The most recent project he's been a part of is Mr. Burcham, which went popular on Twitter being an Adam Carolla animated cartoon about a right-wing conservative dad who's just trying to be politically incorrect and live his life as a teacher, a coach. Have you not heard about this? It's no. Adam Carolla produced it.
I
Megyn Kelly.
I used to listen to Love Line a lot, and then when I was a young boy, But then I started hearing his stuff, and I'm like, I'm kind of good. I think he's kind of a weird
Daily guy. Wire produced this. This just went popular on Twitter, like, I want to say a few months ago, because it was so awful. And then people wound up watching it, and they started making, like gay, like, Rule 34 of the main character, because he seemed like he was trying to keep in a deeply guarded secret. Mm. It's a bad show. But you know, that's what Jay Moore is up to now. So
okay,
good for him.
Doing great, I guess. Doing
good
great
for him.
You know what? At least Paul Rudd's doing all right. He seems to be doing okay.
He's Ant-Man.
He's Ant-Man. How could you not like that?
He's Ant-Man.
How could you not like that? You know?
Yeah.
Kate Hudson's
looking through all the cast.
She was in Glass Onion. That's cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Janine Garofalo's still doing stuff, I'm sure.
Ben Affleck,
you know, there's a lot of
Batman,
people in this movie.
You know, lots of stuff. Elvis Costello's still
Casey
making
Affleck.
Music. Elvis Costello, by the way, is in the movie. Like, he's got a picture. He's just in the pictures, though. He doesn't do anything.
Weird appearance. Again, it's like MTV, I guess, comparison. I don't know. Fuck this movie. I hated it. I hated every moment I was talking about it. I hated every moment I watched it.
So I think we're starting
off. This is probably someone's favorite film.
Oh, it probably is. I am so sorry that this is how we're kicking off the new year. I thought this was going to be a good year, but it turns out it's maybe not going to be.
It's a bad year.
We started off
a bad year.
But, you know, maybe it can only go up from here. Maybe we can only watch good movies from now on. I mean, it's kind of hard to top this. It's so weird because, like, when we're explaining it, it almost doesn't sound that bad. It's just kind of boring.
Yeah.
But when you watch it, it's so much worse because there's just – it lacks any charm, any charisma. The editing is terrible. The pacing is terrible.
Characters are terrible.
Everything about it
sucks. The direction
is
terrible.
None of the jokes land.
Writing
is
terrible.
I'm reading them out loud to you, and you laugh at a couple of them, and I'm like, wow, that is funny when I say it.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
a bad fucking sign when you're retelling a joke and it's funny.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's even considered a funny movie. It's nuts. I was gonna say Christmas movie, but it's not a Christmas movie.
No, it's not a Christmas movie. It's just considered a New Year's movie. Guys, can you recommend some good movies for us to watch? Email us, email@theotherhalfpodcast.com. You can also reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram. We are on Blue Sky, and also reach out to us in Discord. We have an entire Discord section about movie recommendations. And if you want to listen to our previous New Year's episodes, you can find them on any podcasting app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says. Even if it is the writer of this film, if you show up and you're like, hey, I wrote this film, and 5 stars to these guys because they actually sat through this piece of shit. Thanks. We'd appreciate it. It's a bad film. Recommend it. I had a bad time watching it. And I'm going to be honest, I had a bad time talking about it.
Well, I had a good time hanging out with my buddy Mike, but I do like hanging out with you. But this movie was pretty fucking bad. It made me not want to talk about it. I wish I could have been doing anything else but talk about this movie. But here we are.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not often we find a movie this awful. Because here's the thing. It's also not fun to talk about. Like, there's bad movies that are like, oh, I can't wait to tell you how bad, you know, this fucking Leprechaun is or whatever, you know? I can't wait to tell you that. But this, nothing. Nothing was good. Nothing was entertaining.
No.
It's just telling bad jokes.
There is one, like, shining light here, which is, we are never going to have to talk about this movie again.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so excited. Never talk about this movie. Flush it from my memory. Delete it off anything. I'm not even going to rate this on Letterboxd. It can go to hell.
I'm going to look up the ratings on Letterboxd, but I'll do that off podcast. Happy New Year,
Happy
everybody.
Happy New Year, everyone. May it be better than what we started off with.
Hopefully. It won't. Good night.
3-Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.